Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
We gather today on this blessed day to celebrate the life of Saint Ephrem the Syrian, and I'm sure we'll be hearing somewhat about his life when we, during the clergy communion, they will probably speak and talk about this great ascetic life that he lived. But he's a good example of someone who started in a difficult place, not doing the best things, but ended up in a place of repentance and seeking repentance. And that's kind of what he's known for, is that he was a seeker of repentance. And when we think about it, well, you should think about it, which one among us is not just a great sinner? I mean, which one of us, which among us here could ever get up and say, well, I live a pretty righteous life, or I live a pretty holy life? We're always amazed that God is so patient with me as a priest. I'm always amazed how he is. Well, today we're going to talk about those 10 virgins, 5 with oil and 5 without. And a lot of times you will not hear too much about the ones that were with oil. But what were they? What was their attribute, you might say? They were wise virgins. And why were they wise? Because they had oil in their lamp. They had the blessing of God in their lamp. And they lived in such a manner that they, in fact, had oil. Where the others, although they were virgin, although they were, trying to live a good life, I suppose. But the difference is that they weren't wise. They didn't take thought for the oil. They just wanted to come to the dinner. And they just thought that, well, I can get in, I can get to the dinner, I'll be invited. And then they didn't realize that their oil would run out, that they didn't have enough oil in the lamp. And therefore, it's not, in other words, they then go to the people that buy and sell the oil, but it's too late. It's too late. You know, we don't know when God will come again, but we do know that he will come again, and that will be the end of all things in this world. And the goats will go to everlasting torment, and the sheep will be with him, rise with him forever in paradise and in the new heaven and the new earth. We know this. We go through this every year. We hear these. This was just preached a few weeks ago. I talked about this. And you see, the thing is that, and this is what I'm actually going to teach the class on Wednesday on, how our thoughts determine our lives. When you awaken in the morning, what are your thoughts? Are they concerned for the bills that you're going to have to pay for in the coming day? Are they concerned about, you have an ache in your back or something? Are they concerned about just yourself, or are you waking up thinking about our Lord and Savior and then offering your life to him? Those wise virgins, they had lived their life offering their life to Jesus Christ every day of their lives. And because of that, they accrued this oil, this blessing, the Holy Spirit, whatever. They accrued this in themselves. And so they went about their day knowing that they had already given their life to Jesus Christ, that it no longer belonged to themselves. They remember that when they were baptized and chrismated, that they died to this world, and they raised up. They were raised up. They were given their bridal gown. and they were asked to keep it clean, keep it neat. I remember when I was in Optin and Pustin, and this monk, he just kept saying to me over and over and over again, "Father, keep your doorway clean. Keep your doorway." I didn't know what he was talking about at first. But then I realized he was talking about my soul and my heart and my mind and where I allow it to dwell. How often we want to blame the internet. We want to blame the world. We want to blame women's fashions or men's fashions. Blame that for why we fall into sin. But we can't, because it's not their fault. If our life is given over to Jesus Christ, then we are going to act like Him. We're going to be in step with Him. Even the people that crucified Him on the cross, He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." He walked in total mercy. He walked in total love. He walked and showed us that if we believe, even as a grain of mustard seed, if we believe even that much, we could ask of that mountain and it would be moved. Faith, a belief that you must give up your life to Jesus Christ every day, every hour, every moment. You must focus on that and not on the other things that dissuade you and tantalize your senses, you know. So we're asked to do simple things as a Christian. We're asked to do simple things. Love our neighbor, love God. Pretty simple, it would seem. But we have trouble with our neighbor all the time. We have trouble. We are troubled by our neighbor. We don't want to judge our neighbor. At least we say we don't. But we do. You know, one of the great awakenings that happens to children as they grow up, when they hit their 30s, especially, at least I've found that so far, that we'll be having a conversation and they'll say, "You know, Dad, you were right about that. I didn't understand it back then, but you actually were correct. I am just shocked." I say, "Me too. I'm shocked too." But just to say that they learn as you teach them. They learn as they're leaned. They learn. And how are you leaning them? Do you speak eloquent truths in front of the faithful, but when you're at home, you speak blasphemy? Do you love icons, but then when you go home, you get on your computer and look at things that are maybe iconic, but not the right kind of icons? Do you just simply enamor yourself with the world and try to live this sort of double-minded life? Well, when I'm in church, I have to be good, I have to look good, I have to dress good, I have to talk well. I want to receive Holy Communion, I have to confess well. But when you go home, do you have that same urge to fight? To fight those foes that would destroy your soul? Or do you just fall in line with them? If you give your life to Jesus Christ, which you all did in baptism, all of you who are baptized Orthodox, if you give your life to Christ, then you can't take it back. That's when I tell people when they get baptized, please, please, do not drag the sins that you've just been forgiven. Don't drag them through the waters of baptism and recognize or resurrect them and just be right back where you were prior to being baptized, living the same life. Well, hopefully, if you're living the same life, you've already dedicated, given your life to Christ on a day-to-day basis. You've also just simply put aside all these sort of trivial, childlike things, these toys, these things, and you take up your cross and you follow Him. Take up your cross and follow Him. Those five virgins, they took up their cross and followed Him. And the five that did not we're living this double-minded game of back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out. I do it, I don't, I do it, I don't. Like a yo-yo going up and down. We have to, brothers and sisters, in all love, in all humility, we have to just stay with Jesus. If you really stay with Jesus, not just say I stay with Jesus, but if you actually do practice it in your daily life, then when you sin at home, you'll repent and you'll say, I'm not doing that again. I am not doing that again. The hardest one of all, by the way, probably the hardest one of all, because of our lack of humility, is judgment. I mean, we judge everything, everybody, from the President of the United States to the President of Russia to the President of whatever they have in Germany to the President, Vice President, whoever. We judge, let alone our friends, let alone the people that irritate us, let alone just in general we judge. But we understand that judgment can keep you from the kingdom of heaven. That can mean you have no oil in your lamp, and when you try to go to the feast, you won't get in. That judgment can bar you from the kingdom of heaven. All of it, one sin can bar you. So what is the Orthodox practice that we follow? And I, you know, and this is a room full of people that try to follow this, so I know I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak. But just to say, when you confess, repent. Do not make excuses why you sin. Do not say, I sinned because of that, or I sinned because of that, or I sinned because I saw this image on a screen. Who turned the screen on in the first place? Who turned it on? Nobody in this room turned it on for you, whoever that is. Who made you judge and jury over a man or a woman who's in tough straits? Maybe they got arrested and they were shocked. Maybe they were arrested because they did something really, really bad. And so what we want to do in this society is pile on. Just let's jump on top of them, make them realize that, you know, you are bad. You are really, really bad. Well, when I went into the prison in Corcoran, I do tell you that there were some really, really people there that did some really bad things. But God forgave them as they tried to turn their life around. Right now, we have a brother who has been out for about 2.5 years, and he's gotten himself reincarcerated again. And so we pray for him. His name is Moses. And we pray for him because he just couldn't get it together on the outside. So we pray for him because he's our brother. He's our brother. He's our brother. No matter what he did, he's our brother. We walk with him in Christ as best we can. So anyway, it's just a matter of, you know, the consequence of sin in our life is that we dry up. We have no grace, no blessing, no theosis, no Holy Spirit in us. And we just, you know, do the thing that we always do, which is solve our own problems. Solve it ourselves. We just solve it. Yeah, okay. God, I'm going to solve it myself. And so we build a life on that road instead of the road that trusts God for everything. Trust God for everything. If I'm going to say, Kyle, the dedication of this, trust God for everything. Because that's truly what I'm trying to say here in a roundabout way, is trust God for everything. He loves you. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.